On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday afternoon.
Who told tomorrow? Tuesday's a day.
Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, how are you doing, man? It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the name in it. It's a pleasure to have you here. I invited you into the studio, specifically you. Hope you got the invitation. Did you bring a pie? You can't get in here without a pie. If you visit somebody's house, which you're not supposed to do right now, you're supposed to bring a pie. I just wanted to let you know that. You could bring a bottle of wine, but, you know, that's like for any gathering. But for a meal, you have to bring a pie. So, get a pie. Are you ready for the big holiday? It's coming up in just the day after tomorrow. It's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be nuts. All right. That'll be enough. That's enough. That'll be enough of that. Welcome to the program. How are you? Sit down, relax. I will take it from here for the next half hour. I will entertain you like some type of organ grinder's monkey, and I will take care of you. Believe me. Well, here we are, just you and me. Ooh, this is awkward. I don't have any pants on. Oh, my God. This is awkward. I'm preparing for the holiday. I don't care if I have to eat a turkey by myself. Do it, man. You know, just it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough, but it's just one more of these holidays, I guarantee you, you know, just... Then we'll be okay. Then we'll be okay. Well, hey, I've got some turkey tips for you. Some tip of turkeys. Yeah, these are turkey tips. And a lot of people don't know this. I have consulted over the years with so many chefs on this program, and I've learned a thing or two or six or seven. And I'm going to pass on a couple of them to you that you may not know about turkeys as you may be preparing a small Thanksgiving meal this year. Here's the main thing that nobody knows. White meat cooks faster than dark meat. Did you know that? Go on, say it. No, Ron, I didn't. Go on, say it. Admit it to me. Go on, say it to my face. Admit it to me. No, Ron, I didn't know that. You told me something I didn't know. Go on, say it. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? So here's what you're supposed to do. The turkey... At first, when it's put in the oven, should be put in upside down. I know. It doesn't make any sense, but it does. You put the breast side down at first, and for a period of time, up to you, you cook the turkey upside down. That's because the dark meat takes longer to cook, and when it's face down, it may not cook as fast as the white meat on the top. You want your dark meat to be well cooked as well. So for about an hour, you're putting that that breast toward the sky, toward the heavens above, and you prepare the breast the way you do any other breast. You handle it by the nipple, and you gently and fondly stroke it. No, stop. That's disgusting. That's just disgusting. And then through the rest of the cooking process, of course, you can put the turkey right side up, breastwise. Sometimes you want to cover your turkey so that the top of the turkey does not get too crisp and too burnt. You don't want a burnt top turkey. But for the final final minutes, you can raise the heat up a little bit and get that crispy skin that you wanted, okay? And constantly baste your bird. I've told you this, actually. So that's a big turkey tip. When you serve the turkey, you have to let the turkey rest. It's like a person, you know, like, whoa, I've been in the oven for a long time. I'm exhausted. I've got to rest first. Same thing with the turkey. Do you know why you have to let a turkey rest? Because it's exhausted. You let a turkey rest because the juices inside have to settle. Settle your juices before you cut into the turkey. You got to let that sucker sit for at least half an hour. All right? Those are just some tips. I'll give you some more tomorrow, but those are my turkey tips. One of my favorite parts of Thanksgiving meal is stuffing the turkey. And it's not so much me stuffing the turkey. It's watching other people do it. Sometimes I'll call people up and say, can you come over and stuff my turkey? And I'll just take pictures. Can we do that? It's about the only time in your life that you take bread and food and you stuff it up an ass. It's basically what you're doing. You're stuffing, you're putting food in up the turkey's ass. And I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it when I'm doing it. There really isn't any other situation where I take my hand with a big glob of food and I shove it up a turkey's ass. It is the ass of a turkey. Let's not play games. Let's not play games here. That's what you're doing. I'm wondering if a proctologist would be really good at stuffing a turkey. Do you know what I'm saying? Proctologists must be so good at that, to the point where the turkey goes, ooh, yeah, yeah. That's a new phrase that I'm starting. Yeah. Oh, man. He stuffs a turkey like a proctologist. Whoa, must be good then. Lay my hands on that bird. Also, turkey gravy goes with everything except ice cream, I found. That's not too good. That's not too good. But otherwise, turkey gravy goes well on everything. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm preparing my side dishes. I did back in 1987. And so I prepared a little ahead of time. My favorite is the stuffing. I can't help it. It's horrible. It's horrible to say, but stuffing is nothing but bread and celery and onions and sausage and anything else you can fit in that thing. A small end table, perhaps anything you can fit in that bird, go for it. Turkeys will be smaller this year because you're supposed to not have too many people over, or really nobody at all, unless they're a member of the living household who have been under the roof with you during this entire period of time. Otherwise, you got to be damn careful. It's not easy to have a good time and wear a mask, unless it's during sex and you're making believe you're a superhero. Then maybe, but even then, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you be careful this holiday season. It's very important. We want you well so that someday we can enjoy ourselves again. I steer away from desserts. What I do on Thanksgiving, did somebody ask me what I do on Thanksgiving? Did somebody ask me a question? It's funny, when you do radio, it sounds so self-involving, you know, because all you do is talk about yourself, you know. I guess some radio hosts talk about other people, like these psychological shows, you know. Well, you really need to unload your frustrations and to seek help and to lie down and meditate. Yeah, you do this. You really need to do this. You need to do this. Well, I don't think I want to tell you what to do. I'll just tell you what I do. I love the stuffing. I just eat that thing up. I really do. And I get myself so full during the Thanksgiving meal, no matter what it is. It can be bread. It doesn't matter. Whatever I'm eating at the table, I make sure I stuff myself. And that way I won't have dessert, because dessert is, that's the cruelest part of it all. The sweets at the end of the meal. Oh, man. And it's really disgusting when you have family members there, and when you're finished eating, I'm going to compliment you now. I'm going to unloosen my pants. Is that some type of a culture thing in the Far East or something? I'm very happy with your food to show how much I appreciate the food and how good it was. I will loosen my pants in front of you. That is the ultimate compliment. It's like a pervert in the park. I find you very attractive. I'm going to loosen my pants in front of you. That might be a little different, but still a compliment in a way if you look at it properly. You stay away from the sweets, man. Although I've noticed, have you noticed this? Whipped cream in a can. Whipped cream in a can. And even some of that Cool Whip crap, I don't even know if that's food. I don't even know what that stuff is. I don't know what that white foamy stuff is, but I'm suspicious. But the whipped cream in a can, I had noticed, has basically no sugar in it. I mean, you do a little spurt of that stuff, and it goes a long way, and it's nice and creamy, and it's got hardly any sugar in it. I don't know what that actually, I think it's milk and air. I mean, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what whipped cream is. I know you have to whip it a lot, but you don't need a lot of it to get the full feeling of the whipped cream. So I just put it on everything. And her name was Marcia, and I was about 18 years old. Anyway, just make sure everything that you do on Thanksgiving is safe. That's all I ask. You are an audience member, and if I lose one audience member, I'm really in trouble. So please, 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 you take care of yourself here. All right, good. Now, if you're not going to have turkey, you might want to consider having this.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Did you ever by mistake water your artificial plants in your house? I have, I must admit. I have. And the weird thing is, they seem to grow better. It's an odd thing. I can't figure it out. I do have I have a couple of artificial trees in my house. And I have artificial sweeteners. And a lot of the people that I know in my life are acting rather artificial. So I think it just goes with everything. It's like an artificial feng shui. I don't know what feng shui is. I think I do. I think it's tasty on noodles. I think feng shui is when you place certain objects and you face in certain directions away from the door or toward the east. I don't know. I'm not a feng shui artist. I really don't know what I'm talking about. And that's where you come in. What's the definition of a wine snob to you? Yeah, someone who goes to high mass and receives the host and is about to take the sip of wine and you ask for a wine list, that's a wine snob. Last night, I usually drink vodka, and I know what you're saying, Ron, apparently not enough, but I do, and yesterday I just was in the mood for wine, and I don't know what it was, it was a rainy day here where I live in the Boston area. It rained torrentially all day, and it wasn't so bad, it was rather refreshing. I like the sound of rain pitter-patting on my roof and dripping on my living room floor through my ceiling. I think it's very calming in a sense. And I just felt like having some wine at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I know. Of course, by 4 o'clock, I had a headache. But I enjoyed wine. And I started to get a feel for wine snobs. And that's a very derogatory term. Although wine snobs really do know their wines. You can really taste the difference. You can really tell when a wine is good and when it's bad. Anything you do obsessively, you become an expert at, whether it be bad or good. Except for drunks. They end up drinking cheap alcohol, so that doesn't fit the mold as well. But as far as wine is concerned, I have some friends who are wine aficionados. I've mentioned him before, John Shanahan, who does most of the funny stuff on this show. He's not a wine snob, but he's a wine aficionado. Sorry to talk about you behind your back, John. Face me then. Face me, and I won't be doing that. And he knows his wines. It's true. I mean, I admire that, because, I went to the museum it was just a museum of art in Boston. When you could go to those things about, you know, a little over a year ago. And in the middle of the entire place, they have a courtyard and they have a wine bar there. And whenever I go to the museum, I go to the wine bar. Why? Because you should. I mean, you're in a highfalutin museum where people actually dress up. Nobody wears pajama pants in this museum. They dress up like they're going to church or something, like they're going to a wedding. They dress up, and I like that. I like it. A place to go where you can actually put some clothes on that you care about. So when you're walking around, you know, you feel like, whoa, I'm sophisticated all of a sudden. Why, all of a sudden, I am a sophisticated person. It's not a bad feeling. So I go to the wine bar and I sit there, and when I go there, I have a couple of glasses of wine, 17, and I taste the wines from different countries, and I fell in love with Argentinian wine. I don't know if that's the wine from Argentina. Let's put it that way. It was so robust and effective. And so smooth, and I love it. Then I went to a liquor store, which is near me, which has wines from all over the world, including Bolivia. Yeah, and I got a bottle of Argentinian wine, and I brought it home, and I opened it up, and it was good, but it doesn't taste as good as if you're sitting at a wine bar. I don't know what that's like. It's true. It's absolutely true. Stuff tastes better when you're not in your house. It's like a hot dog. You know what I'm talking about? Do you ever have a hot dog in your house? It's like, okay, a hot dog in my house. Tasty, fine, whatever. Have a hot dog in a ballpark or when you're walking around a carnival or a fair. Takes on a whole new taste. Something about it, eating a hot dog while you're walking around, getting it from a hot dog stand, it's different. You take that same freaking hot dog and eat it in your house, and it's, whatever. It's the same with wine. Wine's only good in your house to that extent if you put on a smoking jacket. You have to dress up, put on a smoking jacket and an ascot. Do you know what an ascot is? Yeah, it's a small bed that only fits your ass on it. It's a scarf, idiot. And you got to put a pipe in your mouth. You don't have to light it, but you got to put a pipe in your mouth. And you comb your hair, slick it down a little bit, and stand up straight, damn it. And then grab a glass of wine in a nice goblet, a nice, good-looking, expensive goblet. Sip that wine. I guarantee it's going to taste a lot different than if you did it in your pajama pants. Everything is better if you don't do it in your pajama pants. And I mean everything, yes. I know what you're thinking, and I mean that too. All right. My guest is going to join us momentarily. First, if you're considering having a lot of people over for the holidays, you're an idiot.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Wonderful. My guest today is, I think, is going to be helpful, standing by right now. If you're a senior, and I don't mean high school, not a senior in high school, a senior in life, every year you have to make a choice as to what Medicare supplement you want, and you have to have something. Medicare itself will not support your medical needs really at all. So you need a Medicare supplement. Once a year, you can change it once a year for some reason. And this is the time period, and that window is closing. Oh, the window's closing. Oh, no, that's closing. It's closing. And the last thing a senior wants to do is sit there and try to figure things out. When you become a senior, things are supposed to be easier, not harder. This is harder. This is like every year you have to make a choice and figure out what you want among 100. It's not like choosing something off a menu. This is like significant. So it's frustrating for seniors, and I know it is. So I thought we'd bring on this expert today. Let's say hello to our guest.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Jean Chatsky joins us now. She's been the financial editor for the Today Show on NBC for the past 25 years, older than I am. That's not true.
That's not true.
Very well could be. She's also the host of the podcast Her Money and a regular guest on CNN, MSNBC. She's all over the place. Let's face it. Okay, we're talking about finances and all those kinds of things. As we all know, this is the time for signing up for your insurance coverage. And people are shopping all over. I know there's the Medicare sign up, and then people are looking for health insurance otherwise as well. It all comes at one time of the year usually, and this is it.
It does. And what we're hearing from research, there was a study done by GEHA, which is the Government Employees Health Association, found that 47% of people say COVID-19 has really changed the way that they think about their health insurance. And I hope that that means they're thinking about it more, because what we know is that historically people have not spent enough time making this decision. Right. And as a result, they are likely spending more than they have to and often not getting the right benefits for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, most, especially younger people, go through their lives, well, I'm not sick, I feel fine, and I don't even really need health insurance. I'll just get the bare minimums and just walk through this thing. But now everybody is saying, as a possibility, I could get like really badly sick here. And that changes everything.
It does. It does. And you're right. This is the time of year where whether you're on Medicare, mm-hmm. whether you get your health insurance through your employer, or whether you buy your own coverage either on the exchange or through a private insurer, mm-hmm. you get to make a choice about what you're going to have for 2021.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that you understand the lay of the land as far as shopping so that you can make a smart decision,
mm-hmm.
and that in particular you understand these new high deductible health plans with health savings accounts that have become really popular in the last few years.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to take in. It's almost like I need a butler. I need a butler that is financially in step, knows how to cook, knows what clothes I like to wear. I mean, you know, everything.
Well, I can't give you a butler, but I did write you a guide for how to shop for health insurance.
Oh,
and you can find it. I wrote it myself. It's got lots of helpful tips. You can find it at GEHA.com/shop2020. Oh. And it will take you by the hand and lead you through the steps. But essentially what we want to make sure is that people understand there are different kinds of health insurance, mm-hmm. right? There's an HMO where you have to stay in network.
Mm-hmm.
Medicare Advantage plans are also typically HMOs.
Mm-hmm.
There are PPOs where you can go out of network, but the premiums on those are typically a little bit larger.
Yep.
And then there are high deductible health plans, and they may be HMOs, they may be PPOs, but they're usually a little cheaper in terms of their premiums, but the deductible on them is higher. The benefit of those accounts is that they enable you to open something called a health savings account, which is kind of like a 401k for your health. You can put money into that account with pre-tax dollars, which is a big benefit. It reduces your tax burden. You can grow the money in that account. You can invest it and grow it tax-free. And when you pull the money out, as long as you use it for qualified medical expenses, you don't pay any taxes on it. So even if all you do is pass the money through the health savings account, you're basically saving yourself about 25% on any qualified medical cost. And if you invest the money and grow it for your future, it can really become a supplemental retirement savings account.
Oh, wow. For now, that's good, I guess. Gene, I remember when I was a kid, I used to bank away money like crazy, and the interest rates were like 8, 10%. I mean, I'm not going to see that again. But
I mean, I hope we see better than we've got now. But
yeah.
I'm not really talking about putting the money in the bank.
Yeah.
I'm really talking about putting the money in the market.
Mm.
So like you can do in an IRA, like you can do in a 401k, you can actually invest this money in mutual funds.
Yeah.
And so that gives it the ability to grow at rates better than
true.
We have in the bank right now.
Mutual funds actually are, and bonds, they keep going, man, no matter what. They're smart investments, but you're the expert on that. I'm not, but that's the. Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of other things, too, that you want to pay attention to as you're shopping.
Yeah.
So take a look at how your needs have changed for health insurance. If you go back and you look at how you used healthcare in the past year,
mm-hmm.
past 2 years,
mm-hmm.
you'll get a very good idea of what kind of healthcare consumer you are. That can help lead you in the right direction. But you want to think about things like, will next year be different? Are you thinking of having a surgery that you've been putting off? Are you planning to have a baby? And then look at the specific plans and think about your doctors that you really like to see. Think about the hospital that you might go to if something happened. Think about the prescriptions that you take all the time. Make sure that whatever plan you choose, those things are available to you. And then I'd also say, a lot of plans have started adding what are called wellness benefits. They're typically it's free cash for the taking, $500 up to $1,000. If you do simple things like getting your physical or getting certain health screenings or going to the gym or trying out a telemedicine appointment. And the reason that they're doing this is because it's in the interest of you, of course, to stay healthy, but it's also in the interest of the insurance company to stay healthy and your employer. So everybody sort of works together on that to keep you healthy. And so you're going to want to make sure, just like we tell people, if there are matching dollars for a 401k, you don't want to leave them on the table. If there are incentive dollars for wellness in your health plan, you don't want to leave that on the table either.
So it's also in the interest of the doctor to keep the business going. But I'm sorry, everybody wins, I guess. Okay, but it's good. I wasn't kidding, but it's certainly most beneficial to the patient who keeps on top of things. Okay, there's a lot to take in and a lot to do. I'm glad you have these guidelines because we need some help in making all. You mentioned a lot of choices here, and we need some help in making the right ones. That's where an expert comes in. We don't know much about this stuff, really, in the long run. So there you go. Where do we go for that information?
Yeah, like I said, you go to GEHA.com/shop2020. You'll find an article that I wrote that lays it out step by step.
Wonderful. Can people invite you to their homes and ask you what should we do? I guess that's not available.
Are they going to feed me?
I don't think so.
Then no.
Then no. Okay. Okay. All right. Gene, thank you so much for your time today.
It's you
pleasure,
too.
Pleasure
Thanks.
Speaking. Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, well, I wish you peace.